Welcome to Pursuit Church Podcast, where we give those far from God the opportunity to pursue Christ. We are so glad you are here, and wherever you're listening from, we believe God has a word for you through today's message.
Before you're seated, I want to read from the book of Joshua, chapter 24, to verses 14 and 15. Joshua chapter 24. This is Joshua speaking here. He's gotten very old at this point. He knows he's about to die. He's gathered all the leaders of Israel together, and he says he has this whole farewell address, and these are just a couple verses that's within that message. He says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Today, church, I want to speak on the subject, "But as for me." You may be seated. "But as for me." Today, you are here by choice, and I'm very, very, very thankful that you are here with us today. I'm very thankful that you are part of our small congregation here in the, they call it a mall. It's a city mall here in Russellville, Arkansas. You chose to be here, and I'm very thankful for that, church. You chose to wake up this morning, and you decided to be about God's business. You decided to come to church and worship and hear the word of God. You chose to go out of your way to make it here today, and God honors that, because you could have chose to sleep in. You could have chose to stay home and turn the TV on and watch sports or play in the yard or go shopping or whatever everyone else does that doesn't attend church on Sunday mornings. But you chose church. That being said, life is full of choices, all kinds of choices, moral choices, personal choices, life-altering choices, and sometimes insignificant choices. But we're constantly making decisions every day. Decisions make up the very fabric of our life. Do I turn left or do I turn right? Do I move on or do I go back? Do I yield or do I resist? Do I stay or do I go? So many choices. And every decision that we make yields some sort of consequence. Even the most minor of decisions can yield life-altering consequences. You know, I may be driving out in town, and man, there's a lot of crazy drivers nowadays. You know, people are on their phones, texting, eating fast food. It's dangerous out there. It really is. But I may be driving out town, and I may turn right, and I may end up in a bad wreck. But having made the decision of just turning left instead, I could have probably saved my own life and maybe the life of many others. It's the importance of just one single decision. Now, not all choices are equal, but all choices do have incredible potential to forever alter our life. One of the most important principles in the Bible is the freedom of choice. God has given every boy and girl, man and woman, the free will. He's given you the ability to make your own choices. We have the freedom of decision. And the choices that we make are important, and God has always given everyone the opportunity to make choices. And the very first choice we see in the Bible goes all the way back to the the book of Genesis and the Garden of Eden, and it was this perfect paradise. This Garden of Eden had everything you needed, everything you could want. But in that garden, God placed a single forbidden tree. And immediately, God gave Adam and Eve the ability to choose. And they chose what they wanted. He warned them not to eat it. He wanted them not to eat it. He told them what would happen if they ate it. But still, they had to make a choice for themselves. And it was only a bite of a fruit which cost them their lives. In fact, we're still paying the price today. And so what sometimes can appear to just be a very small decision in our life can make a much larger impact. So, what does it mean that we have the power of choice? Well, it's a freedom. We have a freedom that we can make whatever choice we want. But it's not just a freedom, church. It is also an obligation. We have to choose. We can't just not choose, because by not choosing, we are in fact actually making a decision. It's kind of like the church of Laodicea in the book of Revelation. Does anyone remember the church of Laodicea? I think it was probably about a year ago I preached on the seven churches, but God had nothing good to say to the church of Laodicea. He said, you know, I know your deeds, I know your works, that you, again, he's speaking to a church here, a church body, Christians, and he says that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were either one or the other, but because you're lukewarm and you're neither hot nor cold, he said, I'm about to spew you out of my mouth. By being lukewarm, they were still making a decision. And that decision was that they were not willing to give their whole hearts to God. See, there's no middle ground in our heart of hearts. We're either in it or we're not. We are either really in love with Christ and our life is all about Jesus, or it's not. And God looks in the heart. That's how he knows us. That's how he knows our works and our deeds. He looks in the inner parts of us. He looks in the heart of hearts. Because even though someone could put on a front and they could act like they love God, they could wear that cross on their neck, call themselves a Christian and whatnot, it's what's in the heart that matters. God cares about the thoughts and the decisions that we make in the heart. And when God gave man the ability to choose between right and wrong and dark and light and sin and righteousness, he did not provide a middle ground. He did not give us the option to be neutral. There's no room to be undecided, and there's no time to be unsure, because either our heart is completely in it today or it's not. And so God gave humanity this precious gift, the ability to choose, but he also laid upon us an important obligation. Everyone say, I have an obligation. I have an obligation. I have to choose. I have to make the decision if I will obey God or not. Is it his will or my will? Is it his desires for my family or my desires? Am I open to what God really wants in my life, or am I determined to have it my way? Are my dreams too important and my wants too important and my desires too important, or does my heart truly belong to Jesus? Jesus said to pray this way, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. This is how you ought to pray every day, Jesus said. Jesus said, pray this prayer. Pray that God's will would be done in your life every single day. Furthermore, John said, the world is passing away along with all of its pleasures and desires, but whosoever does the will of God will abide forever. Have I found God's will for my life, and am I doing it? That's what's important, church. Because God will never make me do what he wants. God will never make me preach a certain message. God will never make me give to the poor. God will never make me pray for somebody on the street. God will never force me to do his will. He gives us the ability to choose. Live your life how you want to, spend your time how you want to, invest your wealth and money in what you want, make your own decisions. But when the time comes to an end, when your life comes to an end, I will examine closely and I will look over your life and I will judge accordingly. Did you live a life worthy of the calling that I gave you? Did you heed my voice and run to me when I called you? Did you live for me in private when nobody was watching and nobody was around? Did you love me with all of your heart and your mind and your soul? Did you heed the voice of that young preacher in your life when he always reminded you that your life is so temporary, so make sure to spend it wisely and redeem the time and give your life to Christ while you have the chance? I'm reminded of the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The Bible says that there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and he lived this luxury life every day. And at his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. There came a day when they both died, as there always does come a day when our life will pass away. And Lazarus, the poor man, was carried by angels to what the Bible says was Abraham's side. It's a heavenly place, a place of peace and rest. And the rich man, when he died, found himself in Hades, where he was in torment. And the Bible says the rich man called out from the depths of deep agony, "Abraham, please send somebody to my family, for I have five brothers. Warn them so that they also won't come to this place of great torment." And Abraham replied to him, he said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." The rich man replied, he said, "No, father." He said, "But maybe if somebody rises from the dead, they will believe." And Abraham said to them, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if somebody rises from the dead." God has already sent them a preacher in their life. God has already spoken to them. God has already given them the word of God. If they don't listen to that, they won't listen to anybody. I began to think about that this week, and I thought, would you believe somebody actually did rise from the dead? Somebody actually did listen to the rich man, and God raised somebody from the dead, and his name was Jesus. And Jesus came with the message of salvation: believe on me, repent, and be born again of the water and the Spirit, and every day thereafter do your best to deny yourself and your own desires and your own will, take up the cross and follow me. And so Joshua presents the children of Israel with this very important choice. Choose you this day who you will serve. Will you serve God, or will you run back to your false idols? It's a decision that requires an immediate response. It's not a decision that I can just put off. You know, we live in a day where we like to procrastinate. I'll confess, sometimes I push things off. I procrastinate sometimes. And sometimes it's okay. It's okay to postpone things once in a while. But this isn't one of those things. Today, the decision has to be made. Joshua said, today you must choose who you're going to serve. It was a heart issue that Joshua was concerned about. It was an issue of the heart. In fact, the previous chapter, Joshua chapter 23, it's all about holiness and separation. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Do we still believe that, church? That we actually have to come out from among the world and be different, that we must not touch the unclean thing, and that God will receive us. And Joshua was concerned that now that they possessed the promised land, they had everything they wanted, God gave them their prayers, they had everything they needed, and he was concerned that they might get so comfortable and they would get so bored or whatever that they would begin to turn again to their false idols. It's the environment of safety, peace, joy, and contentment that sometimes brings the greatest temptation to walk away from God because we have no need for him. All is well. Why do I need God? We have the promised land now. God has answered our prayers. He has fought our battles. He has healed our diseases. He has provided everything we've needed. So why do I need God today? But Joshua said, don't you run back to those strange gods, but you make sure to keep on cleaving on to the Lord your God and be a separate people and be a holy people. Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 4. He said, for we have spent enough of our past life in doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in wickedness and sexual immorality and lust and drunkenness and detestable idolatries. In regard to these, others think it strange that we do not run with them anymore in their reckless and immoral living. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. But the end of all things is at hand. So be sober and watchful unto prayer. Peter ends with that. Be sober and watchful unto prayer, church, because the end of all things is at hand. And so again, it was decision time for Israel. Joshua demanded them to make a decision. If you don't want to serve the true God, if you don't want to serve Jehovah, choose you this day who you're going to serve. The choice is yours, Israel. All of heaven and hell waits for you to answer. Heaven wonders, will you one day join us? Hell wonders, will you one day come here? Heaven and hell awaits, eternity awaits. What will be your choice? Will you serve God or not? And finally, to compel them to make a decision, and to hurry up and get on board with what he was saying, Joshua declared his own answer. This elder, this is a man of God, but he's old. He knows he's about to die. He's been faithful in serving God. He's seen God's hand upon the Israelites, and he has seen God's faithful hand upon his life and his family, and he's about to declare one of the wisest things he's ever said. You may hesitate, but my mind is made up. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. From the mouth of this elder Joshua comes the wisest of declarations. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I can't make the decision for your family. Fathers, I can't make the decision for you. And mothers, I can't make the decision for you. And young people, I can't make the decision for you. I can't make the decision for any other home or any other household or any other family. But as for me and my house, and as for me and my family, and as for me and my children, we are going to serve the Lord. And as a husband and father of one today, later this year I'll be a father of two. But most importantly, as a soul that will live for eternity, my mind is made up. As for me, I will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, as for me and my family, we are going to serve Jesus. Church, I wonder if you would begin to declare that with your own voice today. For me and my house, as for me and my family, my mind is made up. We are going to serve Jesus. You can have the world if you want it. You can hesitate if you want to. But as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Because the truth is oh so precious, and God has been too good to me, and I didn't deserve any of this, but yet he still washed away my sins. And I had nothing good to offer him. Is that how you feel today? I had nothing good to give him. I had nothing good to say. Everything about me was ugly and my past was a disaster. But still he wanted me. And he died on that cross at Calvary. And he shed his blood so that he could redeem me. He died so that he could save me. And so as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And as for me and my house, come Sunday morning, we're going to fix our hair up and we're going to get dressed no matter how hard it becomes, and we're going to get ready to come to church. As for me and my house, we're not going to entertain any other strange gods or idols. We're not willing to run back to the world. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the highest of names, the Holy of Holies, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. His name is Jesus. My family belongs to Jesus. My children belong to Jesus. My city belongs to Jesus. I wonder if you could begin to declare that yourself, because maybe your children don't serve God right now. Maybe your grandchildren don't know who he is. Maybe your own parents don't know who he is. But we can declare prophetically in the Spirit today, my children belong to Jesus. My grandchildren belong to God. My parents belong to Jesus. My neighbor belongs to Jesus. My city belongs to the Lord. I've prayed it many times, church, this prayer. God, if I ever get the foolishness to walk away, if I ever get the inclination to walk away, put me through pain. Put me through the worst pain. Take me through down the road of misery. Never let me be content out there. If I walk away and I run to the world, or I give my life and my heart to some other lover out there, don't let me be happy out there. Lord, don't let me be content. Don't let me be out there long. Don't let me stay deceived, but do whatever it takes to get me back under the blood. Do whatever it takes to get me back in the church, for nothing is worth my salvation. I was talking to somebody years ago, somebody I worked with in my first job I had. He was really a nice guy, but he was an atheist. He was very open about it, and I asked him just for clarification, so what stands between you and the belief that God exists is doubt, correct? And therefore, you're unwilling to believe. And he said plainly, yes, I don't believe that there's a God. There's just not enough proof for me to believe. And so I began to think it's not that he doesn't know for a fact that God does not exist. It's just that all of the faith that he does have, it's in the belief that he doesn't exist. He has faith. I believe it takes a lot of faith to be an atheist. It's actually a good book out there you can buy, Christian book, called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. All of his faith is in the belief that all is random. There's no God, there's no creator, everything's just completely random. And I could go into it for hours, but to put it simply, there's just not enough proof to him. And the true tragedy of it all, church, is that it's going to cost him everything. His unwillingness to believe. And I don't even like to make this statement because I don't want to live in a situation where I never believe in heaven or whatever. Because I'm a true believer. I believe this is 100% real. But if I'm wrong, so what? It was a wonderful life. But if he's wrong, it's going to cost him everything. And eternity is just way too big of a deal and way too long to just gamble something like that. It's way too long to get it wrong. A full lifetime here on earth of the greatest pleasures and wealth and friends and fun and power and popularity and all the things that we could possibly indulge in and whatever we could possibly do in this life, the greatest things are not worth spending even one afternoon in hell, where the presence of God ceases to exist and where all of a sudden we look around and we quickly realize, well, I guess nothing's going to change. We're here and we're going to be here forever because eternity's not just one afternoon, but eternity is fixed. Eternity is forever and eternity's way too long to get it wrong, church. But here's the neatest thing about life. And I'm almost coming to an end. I am coming to an end. Until you breathe your last breath. Until you breathe your last breath, you always have the chance to make another choice. Oh, how precious the breath is that the Lord gives us. I can only imagine how many buried bodies in the ground today and earth. Oh, so wish that they just had one more breath to make a new choice so that they could go back and make the right choice. Oh, that I could just have a little bit more breath in this body so I can go back and make the right decision. Until you breathe your last breath, you've always got the chance to make another choice. With every new breath that you breathe, can come a new choice. And the path of your life can be changed by just one mere decision today. Everything. If you've got breath, if you're breathing today, everything can change for you in just one breath. Your life can change and a new start and a new beginning can happen immediately. That's why Joshua declared, "Choose you this day who you're going to serve." Let's stand. Today we must choose. I know it may feel just like any other Sunday. I understand that after service that you will go home or do whatever you normally do after church. And you'll go about your own business and you may go to bed tonight as usual. And you may wake up tomorrow morning, Monday, and you may begin another week just as we do week by week. I understand that today may feel just like another typical Sunday service. But I believe with all of my heart that we will remember June the 11th, 2023. You will remember it as the day that you made a choice. You listened to the old ancient words of Joshua and our scripture today, and you listened to the preacher's message today, and you needed the word. You needed to be reminded. You needed that voice of the preacher to wake you up and stir you up, and you yielded yourself to the Spirit of God, and you recommitted yourself back to Jesus. It was June the 11th, 2023, that things changed for me. My eyes were opened, and my heart was given to the Lord. It was the most important decision I had ever made, and therefore in eternity, as you rejoice with all the other believers, as you enter those pearly gates and you begin to walk upon those streets of gold in the very presence of God, you will be thankful. You will remember that day that you made that very important decision on June the 11th, 2023. Or maybe you'll remember today for another reason. June the 11th, 2023, it was the day that I did not listen to that young preacher. I didn't have enough faith to believe all of that Bible stuff. I couldn't bring myself to believe that it was actually real and truly important, and that there was really an eternity after this life. And besides all of that, I was too in love with this world. I was content with the things I had. I had no need for Christ. The preacher said, God loved me. Jesus died on the cross for me, and that I could find forgiveness and redemption at the foot of the cross by calling upon the Lord. But I didn't feel any actual need to do it. And anyways, there wasn't enough proof that God even existed. It was the most important decision of my life, that June the 11th, 2023, and I made the wrong decision. So let me ask you one more time, church. Why will you remember June the 11th, 2023? As they begin to sing this morning, I want you to call upon the Lord. I want you to respond to the message and the presence of God and the Word of God. He's real. He cares about you. He died on the cross for you. And His mercy and forgiveness is here. And we need to call upon the Lord. We need to make sure our heart is His. The end of all things is at hand, Peter said. The end of all things is at hand. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to call upon the Lord. Oh, that we would take it serious and we would respond to the words of this young preacher, that we would respond to the presence of God and recommit ourselves to taking up our cross, denying our own will, and following Jesus. Take the world if you want it, but I've got to have Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. Be sure to subscribe and share this podcast with your friends. For more information about Pursuit, visit pursuitchurchar.com. Thank you for listening, and see you next week.